Radio.
The Refugees We Failed, a talk by Phil Glendening at the Faith in Action Expo.
Turkish ambassador gets up. They've got 550,000 refugees, none of them in camps, all in the community, and they're giving people ATM cards so they can withdraw some money with dignity. Same in Jordan, same in Egypt. You come back to Australia, and we have last year had 21,000 people arrive here by boat, which is a big number for us. And yet we're spending, at the moment, right here as we stand here today in Broadway, Australia is spending $2 billion plus, a bit over $2 billion, to house some 2,000 people in Nauru, Christmas Island and Manus Island. The whole United Nations High Commission for Refugees, their global budget right round the world to care for 42 million refugees and to house 15 million refugees, their entire budget is $3 billion. And yet we're spending $2 billion to lock up 2,000 people who've come to this country seeking shelter and support. Now, about 10 years ago, what started the Edmund Rice Centre and myself on this journey, we'd heard that Australia had sent some people back to places like Afghanistan, to places like Rwanda, to Colombia, to Iran, to Iraq, and that some of those people, Sri Lanka, had been killed. We found that a bit hard to believe. So we started digging around, and it was just around this time of year, we had a big Christmas party. And there were some journalists there who had some stories, and some other researchers had some stories, and people who worked at Villawood knew a bit. But the next day, I got a knock on the door from two wonderful Dominican sisters who were both then in their late 70s, Sister Carmel Levy and Sister Mary Britt. Wonderful women. And Sister Carmel Levy knocked on our door and she said, "I heard you need some research done." She said, "Well, I can write, I can research, I want a job, and I don't want any money." And I said, "Sister, you must have been born in a stable or something. Come on in, please." And she did. And then for the next year or so, those two wonderful women tracked down 263 rejected asylum seekers in 22 countries. You know, this is really faith with the boots on. This is not faith that's locked up on a church on a Sunday. This is faith with its boots on. And then we then took up the task to travel to those 22 countries and interview those people. What did we find out? Well, we found out in Afghanistan that 31 people who'd come to this country to seek protection and weren't believed and were sent back had been killed, including six small children. You know, and I went to the graves of these children with the father. His name is Abdul Azim Rajabi. And I name him specifically because one of the things that's happened in our country is we see asylum seekers and refugees as faceless, nameless people, not human beings who love other people who are made in the image and likeness of God. And even today, if you go to Villawood or you go to Christmas Island, people are not known by their name, they're known by a number. So it's much easier to remove them, keep them out of sight, out of mind, and send them back. Nine people who came to Australia seeking protection from Sri Lanka were killed. Four in Iraq, two in Iran, four in Colombia, who did not even make it out of the car park, according to the magnificent Catholic Archbishop of Bogota. Came here, sent them back. Now, we are, as we stand here today, on the cusp of doing that all again. Just last month, we sent 78 people back to Sri Lanka. 38 of them are now in prison, under arrest, charged with being guilty of being a terrorist. They are in a room 8 by 10 with 78 other people. They get out for an hour a day. Now, I actually think this sort of stuff matters. I sort of think if we are serious about the message that Jesus gave us, you know, that if you want a peaceful world, you've got to work for justice. We have to pray about it, we have to reflect about it, but we also have to act about it. And, you know, I'm disappointed often that, unlike the great leadership we see from Pope Francis on this matter, that we don't necessarily hear that from leaders across the Australian community the same way. You know, when I was in Geneva, it was just after the Lampedusa crisis occurred, and a boat went down just off the coast of Lampedusa, which is an island to the south of Italy. You know, a few months ago, tragically, a boat went down off the coast of Christmas Island. Australia left those people who died at sea. Australia collected the survivors, took them to Christmas Island, and we locked them up. They're not charged with any crime, yet we call them illegal, which in international law is the wrong thing to do. In Italy, the Pope described this as a shameful disgrace that they weren't able to rescue everyone. The whole nation held a national day of mourning. Every village and town across Italy had a memorial event for the people who died. And every person who did die was given a state funeral. We leave the people at sea. We lock up the survivors. I think if our faith means anything to us, we need to get on the side of those who want to see this change. You know, Jesus Christ himself was a refugee. At some point, that's got to count. On my way back, I stopped in Afghanistan again, and the situation in Afghanistan is pretty terrible, but the people there are amazing. And you have to remember, Afghanistan is a country before it's a war. And on one of the last days we were there, after we'd been arrested and got out of prison and got held up at gunpoint and all the things that goes with a war zone, a wonderful woman by the name of Zara came to find us. And she pulled back her burqa. She was a Muslim lady. She was illiterate. She lived with her two daughters and their three little grandkids because her two sons had come to Australia to seek protection, had been locked up for 3 years and then were sent back. And the Taliban killed her eldest son. And we knew where he was buried. And we sat with her for 4 hours talking about, you know, how difficult it was and how she grieved. We were shooting a documentary. We didn't film any of this, of course. The only income that lady had was to go down to the market, and it's terribly cold winters in Afghanistan. This day was minus 17 degrees. It was too cold to sleep. But they go to the market and they pull the fluff off. You know how your jumpers fluff up in winter? And they pull the fluff off and they darn it all together. And they would make a block about this big. And they'd sell them back in the market for $1 each. And if they were lucky, they sold four of them a week for the three women and two small kids to live on. So as she got up to go, I chased after her and I pulled $20 out of my wallet and I thrust it and I said, please take some money for the children and buy some chocolates for the children. Take a taxi back. Don't risk your life going back by bus through what they call bandit country. And she spun around, she put her hands up in front of me and she said, no. She said, you're a guest in my country. I should be offering you a cup of tea. And she said, when you're poor and all people can do is just offer you money, it can make it worse. And then she said words to me I'll never, ever, ever, ever forget. She said, just because you live in oppression doesn't mean you live without dignity. Just because you live in oppression doesn't mean you live without dignity. And I thought, now, who's teaching who? You know, the work we do with people who are spun to the edges isn't because we see them through the prism of deficit or disorder or problems to be solved. That's where you hear the gospel. You hear it at the edges. You hear it at the margins. It's no coincidence that that's where Jesus was. It was at the edges and the margins of a society, not the mainstream. And the wisdom of this wonderful Muslim woman, despite the pain she was in, was to try and say, there's more to this than an understanding that you may have. And the distance between us disappeared. And I was reminded of the great words of Brother Philip Pinto, who's the head of the Christian Brothers, very clearly on reflecting on what we're doing to refugees and asylum seekers in this country. The amount of money we're spending, and the humanity we're losing in order to do it. And Philip said this recently at a conference in New York. He said, it is futile for us earthbound humanity to cling to the dark and the poisoning superstition that our world ends at the nearest shore, is enclosed at the river's edge, and is limited only to those who share our town, our views, our faith, and the colour of our skin. And he said, it's a task of our educators, and it's particularly the task of our young people to work together to strip the last ancient remains of that cruel belief from the fabric of humanity. Wonderful priest in El Salvador I used to work with years ago said, you know the great Christian craziness? You know what it is? The Christian craziness is that it is possible to live on this planet like a human being, despite poverty, despite the injustice, despite the horrors we see around us. It's possible to still love other people. It's possible to live like a human being. That woman, Zara, in Afghanistan understood that. And I guess my call today is, what side of history do we want to be on? You know, on the side of those who want to tighten and straighten. You know, are we people who are going to adhere just to the religious pole, if you like, but not to the gospel pole? There's so much that we need to do and to be. And if we listen to those at the edges, put ourselves in a situation to be in right relationship with those people, well, that's where we're going to hear the truth. And that is the good news. And it's great to be here today. All the best.
That was Phil Glendenning with The Refugees We Failed. The Faith in Action Expo was organised by the Sydney Archdiocesan Justice and Peace Office and was held at the University of Notre Dame, Australia in Sydney. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.